Hello, my name is Lisa Elvin-Steltari, and this is my channel, Have Roots, Will Travel. I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. For those of you returning, welcome back. We're continuing our study of all of these amazing king's daughters, the founding mothers of Quebec, really, and the les filles du roi, as we say in French. And for those of you new to the channel, we have been exploring over the last year biographies of all of the individual filles du roi that came over from New France, and we're trying to get to know them and find out what was their story like and really paying homage to them. It started off last year with just me doing a few of them on my for my own self, for my own great-grandmothers, and it kind of has grown into this project now, and I intend on doing all of them. So join me as we explore another filles du roi this week. I do about two a week, and there are about 700. I'm on number, I can't remember now, 81, and so I've got a long way to go. And if you have any suggestions or people you'd like me to feature, please post the comment below. I'm on Facebook, so you can look me up on Have Roots Will Travel. And I also have a website, Have Roots Will Travel. So you can email me there and let me know if there's one filles du roi in particular you'd be interested in my featuring. And please go ahead and subscribe if this is something you would enjoy, and the notifications alert as well. So with that being said, let's get started. The King's Daughters was a program that was begun in 1663 by the intendant at the time, Jean Talon. I go into great detail about this in a video that I produced called The Program 2.0. So have a look at that to kind of give you a bird's eye view of how the program got started and how it worked. So it gives you a bigger perspective as to your particular ancestor and what they would have gone through. Let's find out who's our filles du roi of this episode. Episode's filles du roi, her name is Marie Darger. And she is a viewer request, but when I looked at my files, guess what? My best friend, that is one of her great-grandmothers, and my boy next door as well. And in the odd twist of something, my best friend's daughter on her father's side also has this as a great grandmother. So lots of definite people in my life that Marie and her descendancy would have touched. So let's get to know her a little bit. So Marie was born in 1642 in the city of La Rochelle, France, which we've seen many times, but she was Protestant. She was baptized in the Protestant church at La Rochelle, so that gives her a little bit more of an interesting story. Her parents were Daniel Terger and Louise Martin. Now let's get to know a little bit about La Rochelle. We've been there many times, but just to review, La Rochelle was founded during the 10th century and became an important harbor in the 12th. Until the 15th century, La Rochelle was to be the largest French harbor on the Atlantic coast, dealing mainly in wine, salt, and cheese. The name was first recorded in 961 as Rupella, from a Latin diminutive meaning little rock. La Rochelle has one of the richest histories of all the towns of France, from its beginnings as an area where the Knights of Templar had their strongest base. Eleanor of Aquitaine married Henry Plantagenet in 1152, who became the King of England as Henry II in 1154, thus putting La Rochelle under Plantagenet rule until Louis VIII captured it in the 1224 siege of La Rochelle. During the British control of the city in 1185, Henry II had the Vauclair Castle built, remains of which are still visible in the Place de Verdun. Now, it was in La Rochelle that the Protestant revolts occurred and created the uprising that would become known as the Siege of La Rochelle in 1627. Throughout the 1600s, the Huguenots were expelled from La Rochelle on a fairly regular basis. So it is, you know, obviously understandable that Marie and her family would have been under siege. That's kind of how she would have experienced life in France, as a, you know, definitely a minority and definitely somebody, part of a group of people that were persecuted. So let's see how this story develops. So Marie's sister Elizabeth actually left for New France in 1659 as a fille à marier, which someday I will be exploring all the fille à marier. But by 1663, she then had lost her father. So she set sail for New France with a dowry of about 150 pounds. At this point, the fille à marier program was over, and now it became a fille du roi program. And she was on that first boat, Le Phoenix de Fleginge. So she got on that boat, and this was the beginning. She selected, and who selected her? His name was Jacques Royer, and he came from a small village in the north west of France called Saint Cosme. It is actually now called Saint Cosme en Verdet, through you know how the French are, they're constantly changing the names. And the church that he would have been baptized in would have been the Church of Notre Dame, which was destroyed, but there are some remnants of it. And I just wanted to point out exactly where this little town was. It is, you know, picture perfect, really, in terms of, you know, where it is located, in terms of when you imagine a village, this is kind of the French village that you imagine. And just to give you an idea, the province that it was in contained the city of Mans, and many of the ruins are still standing. So this is a very old part of France. I mean, they're all old, but this particular one, the Roman thermal bathhouse, attracts many tourists even today, as there are some amphitheaters there as well. So this is part of that older part of France that would have been part of the Roman experience, if you will. Now, here's where the story gets kind of interesting. Jean would arrive in New France sometime before 1662. He would have a relationship with a lady named Madeleine Dubois. This relationship would result in the birth of his first child, a so-called natural child, born in February of 1662. So some of you may actually be descendants from this particular natural child. So that's an interesting twist. I haven't explored that part yet. So we don't have a marriage record for Jean and Marie, but we do have the the information that was gleaned, and this can be I use Genealogie Quebec a lot of times, and this is from their website. And so this is the marriage that would have occurred November 22nd, 1663, between Jean Royer and Marie Tergeant. Now what's really interesting is that Marie, even though she was Protestant, I don't have any, you know, conversion records or anything like that. So whether or not they just kind of slid it down, not sure, but somehow she was married in a Catholic church. So Jean and Marie would have been among the earliest settlers of Île d'Orléans, being married in 1663. For those of you regular viewers, you know we keep coming back to this island because it really is the birthplace of French Canada in many respects. It's located, Île d'Orléans is obviously an island. It's located in the St. Lawrence River, about 3 miles east of downtown Quebec City. The island was one of the first parts of the province to be colonized by the French, and a large percentage of French Canadians can trace their ancestry to the early residents of this island. The island has been described as a microcosm of traditional Quebec and the birthplace of Francophones in North America. The name of Île d'Orléans, it was known as other things before Île d'Orléans, it was known as Grande Île, Sainte-Marie, and Saint-Laurent, but they eventually changed it to honor the son of King Francis II. His name was Henri, who was the Duke of Orléans in France, and so this is why it became called Île d'Orléans. Now, part of the richness of the of this history is really based on the fact that the island was a very fertile place, and you know, it was very reminiscent for many of the islanders, the people who settled here, of their own French roots. And so in 1661, the first parish of Saint-Famille was founded, founded by another four parishes in 1679 and 80. If you'll note that there are six different regions of the island, it's important that you know what region of the island your particular family would have emanated from. all started kind of in St. Thomas, but eventually branched out. So if you're tracing your family roots, you want to pay attention to that. And now you can see on the map on the bottom left, you can see how close it is to Quebec City. And so I also like to point out the other two little pictures that I have here that were given to me by friends who visited the island recently. You can see how beautiful, really a picture perfect island, somewhere in time almost, you know. And I believe this particular picture is of a cheese factory. And then the other one is just, you know, how amazing the agriculture of this place is as well. It's a very small island, but obviously is a very important one in terms of the history of Quebec and also the tourism of Quebec, because this is a place that people return to again and again. Now let's have a look at the 1666 census. We have Jean and Marie who are there with their firstborn, who is 6 months old. And then they're again in the 1667 census. I just want to point out again, before I go on, Jean, Marie, and Marianne, they're still there. They have four animals and they have nine arpents valants. So that's quite a feat at that point to have that many arpents, which is about 5 or 6 acres of land on the island. I want to point out, some of you may be wondering, why did they do the census 1 year, you know, 1666 and 67? The reason they did it is very obvious. They, once you know, they did the census the first time, they didn't do it so hot, and they missed a whole bunch of people. So Jean Talon said, let's do it again. So government being what it is, they repeated it. So we get the benefit of that 400 years later, to be able to look at the censuses and just kind of see the growth of it. And that is why there are two censuses. Let's have a look at the family they created. You'll note that the firstborn, Jean, was not featured on that 1666 or 67. He had already passed away. How sad was that? And then we have Marianne, who was the first one featured on the census. She would marry René Allery and have four children, three of whom made it to adulthood. She then had a relationship with René Charles Lagueux, and she had a son, a natural born son, who was a product of that union. So that's really interesting, and she kind of was following in her father's footsteps. Madeleine would die in infancy, and Pierre would die at 10 years of age. Elisabeth married Pierre Blais and had five children, four of whom married, who made it to adulthood. She then married Robert Pepe and had four children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Jean would marry Catherine Dumont and have 12 children, but only five of whom made it to adulthood. And Thérèse would die in infancy. In a tragic twist of fate, Jean would pass away at about age 40, sometime between 1675 and 1676. We do not have a death record for him. Marie would have been left a widow in her early 30s. She would have about five children that would have survived at that time. And she would also, and very young children, and she would also actually have inherited the land that they had built. So she needed and wanted, I'm sure, the assistance of another gentleman. So let's see who shows up for her. So we have the new groom. His name is Robert Tourneroche. He was born in 1646 in the region of Normandy in a small town called Caudebec, Arcoux. His parents were Louis Tourneroche and Messine Lampron. And so it is a charming place. You can see the castle there, and right on the Atlantic. Not the Atlantic, but the sea. And so obviously this is a spot, a beautiful spot that he came from. That's about all we know about Robert. We don't really know when he shows up in Quebec and New France. This is a very interesting place, Quebec, because it's actually a name that is derived from Scandinavian, so the Vikings. It was kind of like about 1025, this particular place, derives from the name of it, actually means cold stream or cold brook. So interesting for those of you who would have that kind of ancestry, if your ancestry comes from this, and this would be kind of an interesting spot for you to look at your ancestry and see if there's any Scandinavian ancestry in your tree. So check that out. So Robert and Marie would be married on the 17th of February, 1676, in on the island Saint-Famille, Île d'Orléans. So Marie and Robert would go on to create their own family. Their firstborn was Joseph, who died, unfortunately, at the age of 10. Marie-Madeleine would marry Julien Dumont and have 10 children, 8 of whom would survive. And she would then marry Pierre Lavoie and have another 3 children, all of whom would survive. Marie-Anne would marry François Lavaigne and have 3 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. The next Marie would marry Jacques Gauthier and have 3 children, all of whom would make it. Angélique would marry Julien Dumont and have 8 children, 4 of whom would make it. And then she would marry Jean Garon and have 9 children, 4 of whom made it to adulthood. Just an aside note, I know some of you may have heard the name Julien Dumont, that it's 2 different Julien Dumont, but it is, they are related, so it's really interesting. I was wondering, was she marrying her husband? Her sister's husband, but no, there was a connection, but it was not that direct. On the bottom of your screen, you'll see the 1681 census I've clipped for you. Robert Tourneroche is 35 years old. His wife, Marie, is 5 years older than him. She's 40. Their children are Elizabeth, Jeanne, Joseph, Marie, Anne, who's 6 months old. They have 3 goats, and they have 6 arpents valeurs, so a little bit less than what she had previously with her first husband. It's possible they would have sold the land to be able to acquire more. They would have sold a few of the arpents in order to be able to survive or thrive. Don't know the circumstances. So Marie would die sometime after 1712, when she is last mentioned. Her death record has not been found. If we take the 1712 date, Marie would have made it to 70 years of age, which is always a good feat. We do have the death record for Robert, and he is listed as 80 years of age. As of 1729, she would have, between the two families, 144 descendants. So just a remarkable, remarkable lady. And of course, Jean Royer and Marie Tergier are among the founding families of Île d'Orléans, and they would be on that monument that we have seen for many of the filles du roi. She was definitely, and she is definitely listed there with her first husband. So before we head off to another episode, I want to point out some of the resources I use for the Filles du Roi. We have the website and the society called La Société des Filles du Roi et Soldats du Carignan, which I belong to. I'm also the membership chairperson for. But even before I was involved, I used this website very much to be able to pinpoint certain Filles du Roi and be able to get more information. So absolutely check it out, and check out if this is a society you'd like to join, and you get a beautiful certificate as well. So that's always nice to frame. And then the next one that I would recommend would be Les Filles du Roi Descendants, which is a Facebook page group, and they have about 5,000 members, so it's a wonderful place to connect. And then we have as well, that I use all the time, a website called Migration, and it is, as I always say, everything you ever wanted to know about Les Filles du Roi, in my mind, ships and all of that. It's a great, great website. Trust me, you will get lost in all the details. So it's fabulous. Episode 81, honoring Marie Tergier. We are very, very grateful to her contribution for all those descendants and for being a founding pioneer of Île d'Orléans. She truly was the example of a pioneer woman who, after the early death of her first husband, would go on and continue to not only get remarried, but have another family, take care, and just be there and survive. And that sometimes that's really that's the most important thing of all, isn't it? So with that, I bid you adieu, and until the next time, au revoir.